For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Let's pray. Please keep your Bibles open there too. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us now as we approach these verses. We pray that you would encourage our hearts, help us to be able to encourage and strengthen and support those around us when they face hard times. Help us to face those times ourselves and help us to remember that you are completely good and that you always do what is best for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. E.C. Caldwell was a professor at Union Seminary in Virginia. Now, one day after teaching a class of students who were preparing to be pastors, he gave a special homework assignment. Tomorrow, he said, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 8. When you study tonight, pay close attention to verse 28. Think about what it does say and also what it doesn't say. Then he dismissed the class and he added some words that they would never forget. No matter what happens in your life, always remember Romans 8:28 is true. That evening, something very terrible happened. This is a real story, by the way. This really happened. Dr. Caldwell and his wife were in a car accident involving a train. His wife died on the scene. And Dr. Caldwell was so badly injured, he was crippled for the rest of his life. His injuries were so bad that it took him months before he was able to return to seminary. But after many months, he was able to go back to teaching. As he entered the classroom, like he'd done so many times before, the students were completely quiet. Everyone remembered the last words he'd spoken before the tragedy. Slowly he looked at the class and he said, Romans 8:28 still holds true. One day we will understand how, even in this, God is working for good. Dr. Caldwell had learned firsthand that Romans 8:28 does not mean that bad things will never happen to people who love God. Terrible things may still come, pain, loss, and heartache. But the verse does mean God is still in control. Even in the worst moments of our lives, God has a purpose. He's using everything, even our suffering, for the good of those who love him. That good isn't always what we expect or what we want in that moment. But it's always God's ultimate goal to make us more and more like Jesus. One day when he returns or when he calls us home, we will finally see how all the pieces fit together. I don't need to tell you that our congregation has not been exempt from these difficulties. We've only had an incredible tragedy happen in our community recently. It's affected so many people. We've had some really serious medical diagnoses happening in our congregation this year. And some among us, some on Zoom, face ongoing hardships and struggles. It's one thing to believe that what God's word says when it says God is working all things together for our good, when everything's going okay, when it's going the way that we would expect. But it's another thing entirely to have to cling to those words when something terrible has happened to you or to someone you love. One of the reasons that we're looking at these verses today is that they're so often misunderstood or incorrectly applied in times of grief and pain, which can fail to bring the comfort we think it might and can sometimes make matters worse. I have to confess that I feel like I haven't applied these verses as well as I should or explained them as well as I could have. And so today we're going to be thinking about what these verses do mean and what they don't mean, so that we will be better equipped to face hard times when or if they come, and to support our brothers and sisters in Christ when they go through a tough time. So in verse 28, we see that God is working even if we can't see it or understand it. When a tragedy occurs, or when we're dealing with something really, really difficult, we often ask the question, why is God allowing this to happen? When my father became terminally ill, I asked that question many, many times. You guys didn't get to know him, but he loved the Lord. He was incredibly involved in his local church, and he wanted to tell anybody who would listen about the good news of Jesus. It didn't make any sense that God would take him before his time. Christians will often quote Romans 8:28 as though that answers the question of why God is allowing this to happen. But unless we understand what it is saying and what it isn't saying, all quoting this verse out of context will do will provide false hope, or even worse than that, it'll cause us to question whether God is really good. This verse is not saying that believers will be spared from tragedy, hardship, or suffering. In fact, it says quite the opposite. Those who trust in Jesus will experience all things. We'll experience times of great joy, times of encouragement, times when everything is wonderful. And we'll experience times of heartache, pain, and tragedy. Need to remember who wrote these words. The Apostle Paul, a man who lived a life of suffering. There'll be times when we're crying out for the Lord, crying out for him to answer our prayers, desperate to hear him heal the situation. And he often won't answer in the way that we think he should, or the way that we want him to. And so unless we understand what this verse is saying and what it isn't saying, we won't be able to care for those who are suffering, and we won't be able to stand up in the face of suffering ourselves. This verse is not saying that God works for the good of everyone. That isn't what it says. But that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And that's because of what the good is. This verse only applies to those with saving faith in Christ Jesus. Because the reason that God is working all things together for good only applies to those who trust in him. So what is this verse saying? This verse is saying that God will work all things together for the good of those with faith in Christ Jesus. So it begins with, and we know, because it's speaking to those who believe and trust in Jesus. They believe that God is good. Then it goes on to refer to those who love God, and then finally to those who have been called according to his purpose. Or in other words, those whom God has given eyes to see and ears to hear and believe in the good news of Jesus. And so if you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if he is your only hope of salvation from sin and from death, this promise applies to you. But that, of course, begs a question. If God allows those who trust in him to experience all things, both good and really hard, what is God's goal as he works in all the circumstances of our lives for our good? Well, to answer that question, we need to look at verse 29. In verse 29, we see that God is working to make you and me more and more like Jesus. When we're grieving a loss or mourning something that we wish we had, it can be comforting to know that God works all things together for our good. But the good that we want is the kind of good that we can see or understand, the kind of good that makes sense to us. We want to know that if a tragedy has happened or something difficult has happened to us, there'll be a purpose in it. Maybe a non-Christian relative will come to saving faith in Jesus. Maybe someone in our family who hasn't been taking their walk with the Lord seriously will be drawn closer to God. If we suffer, we want our suffering to advance the gospel in some way. And that is a very good and godly desire to have. But that isn't necessarily, it may be, but that isn't necessarily the good that verse 28 is speaking about. Now, there's some big theological words in this verse, and those big theological words can make some people feel a bit uncomfortable. But if we're able to put that discomfort aside, these big theological words can provide us with assurance of our standing before God. This verse begins with, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined." Or in other words, God knew us before he even created anything. Anything in the world, he knew us. He knew who we would be, what we would do, and how he would bring us to himself. He knew all that before he created anything. And all the way back then, God decided to work all the events of our lives in such a way that we would be consistently growing to be more and more like Jesus. So when verse 28 says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, the good that it's speaking about is about our personal relationship with him. That through whatever circumstances we are experiencing, whether good or hard, God is using them to make us more and more like Jesus and to grow our trust in him. The good things that God has withheld would have only been good in the short term, but in the long run, those things that we think are good would be terrible because they would take our hearts away from Jesus. Any bad things that happen to us happen to pull us away from the things that will ultimately destroy us and our faith in Jesus. Most of the time, we won't be able to understand why God is allowing something bad to happen. But through faith in the goodness of God and his faithfulness to those who trust in him, we can trust that God is working all things together to make us more and more like his son. In verse 30, we see that God is working and that he will finish what he started. Now, I mentioned the Apostle Paul earlier because he is the one who wrote Romans 8, or all of Romans, of course, but Romans 8. The Apostle Paul is the last person who would ever try and tell you that the Christian life is going to be easy, because he lived a life of suffering and discomfort for the sake of the gospel. He was hated by his own people. He was stoned on a few different occasions, once within an inch of his life. He was whipped. He was imprisoned. He lived as an outcast. But despite all of the things that happened in Paul's life, he was able to say in Romans 8, 28, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says these words, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." Paul was able to say these words with such confidence because he knew that God would finish the good work that he had begun in Paul's heart. Now, when we looked at verse 29 a minute ago, I said there were some big theological words. Well, there's actually more in verse 30. Verse 30 begins with, "and those he predestined." Or in other words, he knew who we would be, how our lives would work out, and how he would bring us to himself. And having known us from before the creation of any part of the world, he called us to himself. And having called us to himself, he also justified us. Now that's a theological term that means that he legally declared us to be right in God's eyes. Or in other words, from that point, our past, present, and even future sins no longer have the power to take away our salvation. It is just as if we have never sinned in God's eyes. Those God has justified, he also glorified. Those he has justified, he also glorified. Just think about those words, because they are remarkable words. Because it doesn't just say, those he justified, he will one day glorify when Jesus returns. It says, those he has justified, past tense, he has also glorified, past tense. But to be glorified means to be made perfect, not just better, perfect, completely holy in every single way, just like the angels in heaven, able to stand in God's presence. But we know that none of us are perfect. We all have our own sins that we struggle with. But what Paul is saying here is that from the moment God set us aside to be his, the hope of our salvation was so sure, so certain, because God has justified us. We are as good as glorified. Because God is at work in all the circumstances of our lives for the eternal good of those who love him. And he always finishes what he starts. To him, those who trust in Jesus are as good as glorified because he will do it. As the Apostle Paul wrote these words, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. He wasn't encouraging us to look at the bad things in our lives and try and find some way that God is using them to bring some sort of good. These words are far more than an encouragement to be positive when we face all sorts of really, really hard stuff. Rather, it's a reminder that even though believers will experience all things, both good and really, really hard, we can trust that God is good and that he is only allowing hard things to happen in our lives so that our hearts will not stray from the hope that we have in him. John Newton, you would know that name. He was a former slave trader who came to Christ, who wrote the song we all know, Amazing Grace. He once wrote these words: "Everything is necessary that God sends. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds." I'll read that again. "Everything is necessary that God sends. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds." What that means is for us is that no matter what our circumstances, whether good or whether really, really hard, our loving Heavenly Father is working to protect the hope of our salvation that he made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of his one and only Son. Sometimes he will use moments of great joy and praise to do that. Sometimes he will use times of weeping, mourning, and suffering. And even though we won't always understand why he's allowing hard times in our lives to take place, he is working through our circumstances for our eternal good. He is slowly but surely making us more and more like Christ, guaranteeing that he will glorify us on the day that Christ returns. Let's pray. Father God, we so often find ourselves in the face of circumstances that don't make any sense to us, Lord. We know that you are good. We know that you love us. We know that you care for us. We know that you are sovereign and in control of all things. And yet we face hard things sometimes. Lord, we thank you that even though we think we know what is best, you know far better what is best for us. We pray that you would work in each of our hearts, strengthening our faith in you, helping us to hold on to the hope that we have in you, because that is ultimately what is best for us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.